The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to look at a familiar story, and I always struggle when we look at familiar stories because I think they're familiar, but maybe you don't. But then I also figure out, like, what you, most of you hopefully have heard this story at least some point in time. What in the world could I tell you that you don't already know about this story? And so this morning we're in Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, it's the story of the prodigal son. Anybody recap the story of the prodigal son for me?
Rich,
okay. What happens to his richness?
Blows it.
Blows it, okay.
Blows it on silly stuff.
Perfect, man. That guy needs an extra bag of chips or something. That's good. Blows it on silly stuff. All right. Do what?
Now he's feeding the hogs.
Now he's feeding the hogs, okay.
Wants to eat the stuff he's feeding.
Wants to eat the gross stuff he's feeding the hogs, yeah. Then what happens?
Broken,
realizes, thinks he's too far gone.
Came to his senses.
Love that phrase. We could do like a month-long study on just that phrase. We won't, but we could. Came to his senses. What does he do then?
Goes home
to his dad, and then the story rejoices and everything like that. And this morning, that's the story of the prodigal son that most of us are familiar with. So it's in Luke chapter 15. You got your Bibles. In verse number 11, it picks up and it says this. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Now, before we get too much further in the story, I've got to stop right here because there's something that is vitally key to understanding this story that we have to pause and reflect on real quick. There was a man who had how many sons?
Two
sons. Right. All right, there's a man who has two sons. In order for you and I to fully grasp what the whole parable is about, you have to understand that there are two sons. You have to read the parable in its entirety. You can't stop at the first son. The first son is the one that we can all connect with, right? Because we all have been broken. We were all a wretch. We're all a mess. We've all lived foolishly at some point in time in our life. But there's two sons, and so before we go any further, I've got to stop, and we've got to pause there for a moment to reflect, and you realize that this story is about both sons. Everybody good so far? All right, good deal. All right, so the very first son, we're going to look at his story a little bit closer now. It's the younger son. Each son would have gotten a portion of the father's inheritance. Actually, the older son would have gotten 2/3, and the younger son would have gotten 1/3. That was the custom of the time. All right, pick it up in verse number 13. "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Now, going back and kind of recapping a little bit of what we just read, the younger son blew his inheritance with careless living. Careless living means this: there's no concern for who he was or anything that would come after the right now. In other words, his whole focus, his whole concern was living in the right now. Foolish living is living in the moment. It's no regards for his father, who his father was. It's no regard for who he was as a person, who he was called to be as a person. All that he cares about, all he's concerned about is the right here, the right now. Again, nobody here. Y'all ever know people like that? Man, it's so hard to look... And you can take this from a financial perspective, you can take this from a life perspective, you can take this from so many different perspectives, but sometimes it's really hard to look past the right here, the right now, right? For so many reasons. Sometimes the right now is so good that it's hard to look past it because I just want to live everything I have. Man, some of the kids this week, it was hilarious watching them in VBS. I don't know if it was the cookies and the sugar that we gave them, but man, they were living their best life right then. And then when it was over with, they were all sad and they were like, I'm sad it's over. Every adult was like the opposite. Hey, I'm not living my best life right now, but when the end of this week comes, I know there's got to be an end in sight. And it's funny, it's so hard for us to look past the right here and the right now. But what this scripture tells us is that when you don't look past the right here and the right now, you're living carelessly. You're living foolishly. You're living recklessly or wildly. You have to take into account the future. Now, your future eternity, but your future in just your next day, what you're supposed to be. The other thing, this, and man, I love this. The Old Testament, honor your father and mother, one of the Ten Commandments, right? I love that phrase because to me, again, that phrase means so much more than just obeying. I got to do a wedding yesterday, and in the vows, we talked about how the wife was going to honor the husband, and it was so much more than just doing what the husband says. But it comes with this mentality, this idea that people think higher of an individual because of their connection with you. This young man had a dad who loved him enough that he would give him his inheritance early. And when he went and he was doing all this living, he gave no care or concern to how people viewed his father based on what he was doing. He was careless with his living. Something else that we read in this passage or in this verse is that he was hired by a Gentile to feed unclean animals. Now, this may not seem like that big of a deal, but see, now he was dependent on somebody else who didn't have a moral code for how they were supposed to treat people. When you go back and you look and you read, the Jewish people, the people that he came from, had very strict guidelines for how they were supposed to treat their help, how they were supposed to treat their servants, how they were supposed to treat those that were around them. They had very specific moral guides that they were supposed to live by. But the person that he goes and he seeks compassion from has no moral compass, has no moral guide, and has no moral obligation because he's a Gentile. He's a foreigner. He has nothing that tells him how he should live. Y'all ever meet these folks? And you're just, I'm just a Christian trying to live. And here you're doing business. You're in relationships with people who aren't that way. And it's tough. But that's why it's so key. This small detail of the story is so key. Because he went and he depended on the generosity of somebody who had no moral code. No moral compass, nothing. And because of that, what does he end up doing? He ends up feeding pigs. Now, again, not a bad job. I've had some worse jobs probably than feeding pigs. Except, his Jewish law, his Jewish custom, who he was supposed to be at his core, is now compromised because now he's associating with animals that are considered unclean to who he is at his core. Church, be careful. A lot of us do business. A lot of us have friendships. A lot of us do things with other people who have a different moral code than we do. And what they want us to do is they want us to compromise who we are at our core. That goes into that careless living. All right, keep going in the story. Sorry, I've got to figure out where I'm at. Seventeen. It was on the other page. Y'all just turn the page. That's all you gotta do. Where he finds himself is in desperation. Desperation. He's starving, and he can't even do something as simple as eat. Now, again, such a simple thing. It's not really that profound. It's right there in Scripture, but it speaks volumes to the care and concern that you and I should have. When we start to associate with those people who have different moral compasses, moral standards than we do, when we start to put ourselves in those positions, when we start to compromise who we are at our core, we start to become desperate. We start to become so desperate that we can't even do simple things. Y'all, just being honest with you, and hopefully you feel enough to be honest with me. Y'all ever get to that point Man, you're just so beat up. You're just so overwhelmed. You're just so... you can't even do simple things. This is the story of my Sunday morning. Sunday mornings, I love Sunday mornings. I'm excited about them, but I'm still nervous. Like, people are like, oh, you're a preacher. You do this all the time. You have no idea how nervous this still makes me. Every Sunday morning, I find myself in the same position. I get up. I get ready. I'm starting to get dressed, and I go to my closet, and I stare at my closet. I can't even pick up a shirt. Because I'm like, I get so overwhelmed by the weight of the moment and what this means and how coming together for worship and getting to share God's word with God's people, how exciting and overwhelming that is. I can't even do simple things. Here's this prodigal son who is so overwhelmed by the weight of everything that he can't even do a simple thing like eat. Now, not only that, but look at the last phrase there. It says that he could get, no one would give him anything. It's easy at that point to focus, right, on the unfairness of the Gentile master. Dude couldn't even buy food. I don't know what kind of deal he worked out, but man, he needs a new agent contracted for him. Because this is a terrible deal. Hey, you go feed pigs, and I'm going to pay you, but I'm not even going to pay you enough to eat. And nobody gave him anything extra. Nobody gave him anything. In other words, what that means is that it's easy at this moment to focus and say, well, that's just the cruelty of the world. That's how awful this person is. That's how wrong this Gentile master is. But the Gentile master is only cruel and only unfair to compliment or to reflect or to focus on the goodness of the Father. Keep reading what happens in verse number 17. When he came to his senses, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out. I will go back to my father and I will say to him, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Spare food. Now, what does that mean? It means that his father cared about his hired help enough to not just give them enough to eat, but so that they would have extra. It complements, it highlights, it focuses on how good his father was. Here he is starving in a land with a Gentile master who won't even give him enough to make ends meet. And what does he realize? What does he come to his senses and figure out? Man, my dad was really, really good. His hired servants had extra food. They didn't just have enough food. They had food to spare. And so the contrast there is there so that you and I can realize how good the Father was. And then there's another part of this story that we have to kind of focus in on, and it's the acknowledgement, realizing his own carelessness. This becomes so easy to skip over, and this is one of the hardest things for us to do today. Because what do we want to do? We want to focus on God's grace. Is God gracious? Absolutely. Thank goodness he's gracious because I don't deserve anything at all. And it becomes easy to say, well, hey, listen, whatever I do, God's going to forgive me, right? You ain't going to say that, but how many of you have ever thought that before? I can do whatever I want. God's going to forgive me. Or we do this. Hey, listen, it's not my fault. There's a famine in the land. If there hadn't been a famine, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in. If it wasn't for the cruelty of this Gentile who gave me an unfair deal, do you realize he's making me feed pigs for not enough food? Like, I can't even provide for myself. And all of a sudden, we start to play the blame game where it's everybody's problem except our own. Not my fault. But look what the prodigal does. He says, listen, he came to his senses and he acknowledges, I was careless. I was foolish. I made mistakes. It would be so easy in this moment if anybody has a cause, a reason to play the blame game and be the victim, it's him. He's got an unfair deal. He's got an unfair boss. He's living in difficult times and it would be so easy for him to say it's everybody else's fault except mine, but he doesn't. He acknowledges his own mistakes. I think the rich young ruler went to Vacation Bible School. Miss Sammy, he knows the ABCs. In just a second, we'll see some other ones. Going on in verse number 19, he says this. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This is the speech he's going to give to his father. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son's solution is simple. When he comes to his senses, he realizes his wrong. He realizes his shortcomings. He realizes how careless he was. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll fix the problem. Let me work for you. He says, is what he's going to say to his dad. Here's what's scary. I see this in me. Every time I do something wrong, what do? I've got to work extra hard to earn God's love. Every time I make a mistake, every time I yell at my kids and I lose my temper, or I get in a fight with my wife, or I think something and I do something wrong, all of a sudden I try to go back and I try to earn God's love by working for it. Completely misunderstands the goodness of his father still. So as he's a long way off, you see the father running to him, and that's such a strange thought. Like, why in the world is he doing that? But you see this idea of anticipation and joy because the father was watching for him. He ran to him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. The father knew his goodness was good enough that someday, at some point in time, the son would remember it and would come back. So the father sat and waited, watching daily. Some point he's going to remember it. Some point he's going to remember how good I was. At some point, he has to remember how good I am, and then he's going to come back. And so when he does and he remembers it, the father is waiting for him. He's anxiously anticipating the joy that he's going to have at this reunion. And so when he sees his son far off, the father goes running out to him, greets him, he hugs him and he kisses him. And he gives him all the love and appreciation that a father would have for a son, not for a servant. Verse 21, the son starts into his speech. The son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine who is dead is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And so they began to celebrate. Again, I told you that the rich young ruler probably, or I'm sorry, not the rich young ruler, that's a different story. The prodigal son probably had been to Vacation Bible School. He has the A and he has the C and he has the B. So he has the ABCs from Vacation Bible School. He admitted his own he admitted his own carelessness and his selfish living. He believed that the father was good enough to reinstate him in some point in time. And now you find him confessing to his father. He confesses his own carelessness, and right in the middle of his own carelessness, right before he starts to offer his work. Did y'all catch that? Right before he starts to offer his own work, what does the father do? Cuts him off and says, No, stop! Stop, I don't care! I don't need any more. You don't have to do anything else because you can't do anything else. The father cuts him off before he can offer his work. And he says, hey, listen, bring the best robe, bring the best sandals, bring the ring, kill the calf. We've got to celebrate. Now, this is so cool. This is so interesting because there is absolutely nothing this boy could ever do to earn his father's love. And so before he even starts to offer the work, the father says, you don't have to be one of my servants because you're already my son. And he stops him and he says, hey, listen, bring the best robe, not his old robes, not the robes that he left here when he left to go to that distant country. No. He's now a new one. He needs the new robes. He needs the best robes. This is what Christ does for us. He says, listen, not your old robes, not the stuff you used to bring with you. But when you come to me, you're brand new. I want the absolute best on you. Not that stuff. No. We're done with that. A ring. Why a ring? Because the ring symbolizes that he's back in the family. Listen, you may have turned your back on on God time and time again, but God will never turn his back on you, and there is nothing you could ever do to make God love you less. And when you come back, he says, listen, you're in. You're part of it. You're back again. And the last thing is so random and so weird. Sandals. Wait, John, you had me. I was with you, man. We're getting best robes. We're getting rings. Flip-flops? Seriously? Sandals were a luxury. It's to express the extreme, extravagant grace of the Father. He could have said, hey, listen, you know what? Time's a little tight. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're in the middle of a famine. You're going to have to go without shoes for a little while. But he said, no, listen, I want to pour everything I have on you. So get him sandals. Let's kill the calf. Let's celebrate. The sandals represent a luxury to express the greatness, the goodness, the continuation of the grace that goes beyond what we could ever think or imagine. But like we saw, there were two sons. The story's not complete until you finish the rest of the parable. Chapter 15, verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and he asked, what's going on? Your brother, he said, has come home. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he is back, safe and sound. But the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out to him. A couple things just briefly. I'm trying to go fast. I'm sorry. Where was the oldest son when the celebration was happening?
Working in the fields.
Hold on to that. It's going to come back. The anger of the brother is something that we're all familiar with, and we expect that as part of this story probably. But while the older brother is angry out working in the fields, where's the father? He goes out to get him too. See, the focus, the fun part, the exciting part is when the father looks for anticipation for the son who's gone and blown everything. But notice the father was still looking for the older son who never left. And when he was at the party, he said, hey, listen, don't go send a servant to bring him in. The father goes and says, hey, what's going on? We're celebrating. I want you there. The father goes out to get him as well. So now the conversation is set up. He answered his father. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him. The older son views his work as a means of earning the father's love. Go back and look at that again. He says, all these years I've worked for you. All these years I've done everything right. You should love me because of everything I've done. Not just that. In order to drive his point home, he says, this son of yours, I want nothing to do with him. He's not my brother. He's this son of yours. He was to disassociate himself so much with anyone who would do anything wrong that he has severed the relationship. Careful, church. It's easy for us. Maybe it's not easy. This hit home with me like you would not believe. Why? Because I still, as a Christian for years and years and years, as a pastor, I still find myself working to earn my Father's love. Not only that, but if I'm not careful, what I start to do is I start to disassociate myself in several relationships from people who don't do what's right. Now, I'm not saying, again, you need to keep company with them. I'm not saying you need to get in business with people who have different moral standards and things like that. But a lot of times it's so easy for us to dismiss the person who's done wrong and cut that relationship off when it's not meant to be. The father goes in now. My son, he said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. See, really, this parable isn't just about one son. Notice what the father says to him there in verse 31. This brother of yours. The father says, listen, you can say this son of yours and disassociate yourself, but the way I see it is this. You're both my boys. This is your brother. You're connected to him not because of what he's done, but because of who you are to me. See, so many times when I read this story growing up, I focused on the foolish son and I focused on all the things he did wrong. I missed the point of the parable. The point of the parable is about the grace, the love, the compassion, and the goodness of the Father. When you read back through it, it's all over. It's all over there. Every time you turn it around and you look at a word, or you look at what the Father does, you see His goodness, you see His love, you see His compassion, you see His grace for both His boys, not just for the one who is foolishly living, but for the one who is foolishly thinking as well. And what happens is this parable is about the goodness of the Father, not the foolishness of the two sons. One son may have lived foolishly, but the other one thought foolishly. One thought he could earn God's love, or he could earn the Father's love, while the other one tried everything he could to disassociate himself with the Father. Closing this morning, church, who are you? Are you the one who's lived foolishly? Are you the one who's done some stuff, and you're like, man, there's no way God could ever love me? There's no way I could ever be restored. There's nothing I could ever do to fix where I am. I've messed up too bad. This morning I got good news for you. There's nothing you could do that can make God love you less. He's waiting. He knows how good He is, and so He's waiting and He's watching. And He says at some point in time, it's going to click. Something they've heard at Vacation Bible School, something they've heard at some point in time at some church service, is going to click in their head, and they're going to remember how good I am, and they're going to come back. Are you the one that's sitting there today, foolishly thinking that somehow, some way, God loves you only by what you do? And you're trying to earn God's love. In earning God's love, what you're doing is you're isolating yourself, you're disconnecting yourself, and you're pushing people who need to see Christ in you away. Because you've convinced yourself that you can earn God's love. This morning, if that's you, in either case, my prayer for you is this. You'll remember how good the Father is. You'll remember His grace, His love, and His compassion. And you realize there's nothing you could ever do that can make Him love you less, but there's nothing you can do that can make Him love you more. He loves you completely, just as you are. And He wants a relationship with you this morning. God, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You for this parable. And God, it's a parable that we've heard before at some point in time. And God, if we're at all familiar with church, maybe we've read this. But Father, this morning, I wonder if in the midst of this time, You didn't show us something new. God, if there's not somebody who's here this morning who, Lord, they've lived foolishly. They haven't necessarily cared about the future, about honoring You with their life. And so they've made foolish decisions and they've made foolish choices. God, maybe being here this morning is that start of that process where they came to their senses and they knew where they needed to be. But God, they came in here with this idea, with this mentality, with this mindset that there's nothing they could ever do to earn Your love again. Lord, I pray that as this song is sung, that you would just break down those walls in their heart. Lord, that you would help them to realize that they are loved by you because you are good. Father, for the one that came in this morning, maybe in the other end, God, maybe they weren't mad, maybe they weren't angry, but they viewed their Christian life, they viewed service to you as a burden, as a way of working to earn your love. God, this morning, maybe the words from Scripture have penetrated their hearts. Lord, they get to realize the joy it is just to be your child. God, the freedom that brings. The joy it is to rely completely on your goodness and not on our own good works. This morning, Father, maybe they just need to thank you for that. God, whatever you want to do with your people during this time, we pray that we be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.